We read responsively Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. Though its waters roar and be troubled. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Come, behold the works of the Lord.
Who has made desolations in the earth.
He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two.
He burns the chariots in the fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
A lesson from Acts chapter 2. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before myself, before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Romans chapter 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Thanks be to God. Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Romans chapter 5. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Thanks be to God. St. Luke chapter 24. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Thanks be to God."
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text has been read. We'll read just two verses again from Luke 24. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The first Christian sermon ever preached was a word of law and a word of gospel. Adam, where are you? The law in Adam's conscience had done its work. I heard your voice, and I was afraid. And then God spoke to the devil. But the message was really for Adam and Eve, about their special descendant named Jesus. For God says, the seed of the woman, he shall bruise your head, Satan. Can you imagine the relief that Adam and Eve sensed with that first promise that there would be a Savior? The gospel was not lost on them. For when Eve gave birth to her first son, she names him Cain, the one gotten from the Lord. And she seems to think that this is already the one who would be the crusher of serpents, the promised Savior. I have gotten a man, the Lord. Many of us here are here today for the Reformation lectures, which are focusing on preaching through the ages. Some of us are also here for the organ anniversary weekend. These events fit well together. We gather to commemorate the Reformation, which refocuses our attention on the Word of God, on the proclamation of law and gospel, with emphasis on the comfort we receive through Christ our Lord, who lived, died, and rose again for our salvation. This is exactly what Jesus says in our text, in his sermon to the Emmaus disciples. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. That proclamation, that preaching, is also the central message of our hymns, our Lutheran chorales. Repentance and forgiveness, the blessings of law and gospel proclamation. It is also what we just sang in the hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. Preaching can be a lot of things, can include a lot of things. Sermons can teach us the doctrines of Scripture. They can guide us in how we live as Christians. Sermons can review the catechism. They surely will focus on the life and work of Jesus, our Savior. All of that has to do with repentance for the forgiveness of sins, because all of that directs us to Christ and to heaven. When Jesus preaches to his disciples on the road to Emmaus that first Easter, he points them to the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms, the holy scriptures of the Old Testament. And he says something about those scriptures that is either the most profound and most comforting of all, or the most blasphemous and condemning of all. Jesus says these Old Testament scriptures are about him, the Son of God. He claims to be the Son of God. He says he is the Son of God by quoting these passages. All things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. The Word of God points us to Jesus, both Old and New Testament. Martin Luther once said, all Scripture drives Christ, urges Christ, promotes Christ. Christ is the message of Scripture. From Scripture, Jesus preaches about himself as the fulfillment of Scripture, as the promised Savior. This is exactly the same message that Peter preached that first Pentecost. It is the same message that should be preached regularly in Christian churches all over the world, especially in Lutheran churches where we treasure those truths of grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone, Christ alone, to God alone be the glory. There's a famous painting of Martin Luther preaching. In one hand, with one hand he's pointing to the Bible, and with the other hand he is pointing to Christ on the cross. Proper Christian preaching is based on Scripture and points to Christ. If we look at the best Christian sermons, we see our sin and we see Christ as Savior. If we look at our best hymns, we see our sin and we see Christ as Savior. It's not just in the poetic words, but in the deep thoughts about our sinfulness, drawn from words of Scripture themselves, so that we recognize our need for Christ. Psalm 51 says, "In sin my mother conceived me." Psalm 22 says, "O God, my God, I cry to you in daytime, but I do not hear, you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent." And we just sang these words, "Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly o'er me. Sin was my torment day, night and day, in sin my mother bore me. Yet deep and deeper still I fell, life had become a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me." Those are scriptural words from the Psalms and scriptural truths that urge us to repent of our sins. Every day and every hour, we sin, even in ways that we cannot know. In case we have forgotten, God gives us the Ten Commandments as a catalog of his demands and our failings. Honor God, honor your parents, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not covet. We have committed all those sins in our hearts and more. Like Adam, we must be afraid of God, and we even try to hide. But God is all-seeing and all-knowing. Our only solution is repentance, sorrow over our sin, and seeking God's grace alone. And God is gracious. God is merciful. This was Jesus' proclamations to the Emmaus disciples also. He tells them that what he did to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies was to suffer and rise again from the dead the third day so that we might be saved. This is proclaimed in Isaiah 53. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." The prophet Hosea says, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from the death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction." And we just sang, "He spoke to his beloved son, 'Tis time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to man salvation. From sin and sorrow, set him free. Slay bitter death for him, that he may live with thee forever." Here we find forgiveness of sins through the compassion and grace of God the Father, who sends his Son to rescue us, and his Holy Spirit, who brings us that message and gives us faith through his holy sacraments. "For he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Eat and drink for the remission of sins." What are your sins? What are your worries? What are your fears? Whatever they are, the answer is Christ, who destroys sin, delivers from death, and defeats the devil. He brings forgiveness for all your wrongs, comfort for all your sadness and worry, strength to be alive in faith, and thankfulness to God, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter. This message is for all people, as Jesus says, "Repentance for forgiveness of sins to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations." We sang that as well. Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice. Surely that joy and rejoicing is the point of this all. As forgiven children of God, we speak joyfully, we sing joyfully, we live joyfully, because God's own Son joined our human race, bore our sin, and grants us eternal life with him, even though sometimes our joy must be in the midst of sorrow. Jesus spoke the law most boldly and clearly. He could read people's hearts. Jesus also spoke the most joyful message of the gospel many times and urges us to rejoice. He says, "There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Jesus gives us peace, peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of soul, the peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that the world cannot understand, but it's a peace that the world cannot take away from us. We can learn preaching and teaching from many examples through the centuries, and we should. We can learn from some of our hymns that are also like sermons. We can learn from the sermons and writings of Peter and Paul, from the prophets and apostles, because they are words inspired by God. We can learn from the sermons and preaching of Jesus himself, who is the Word of God and the promised Savior. We learn to trust and have confidence in his forgiveness. We learn to have joy and sure hope of eternal life, because his righteousness is our righteousness by grace through faith. Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice in the wonders God has done for your salvation. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.